All right. Well, this morning the title of our message is A Wise Investor. Now, you know the Bible's very clear that we are all to be good stewards of all of our godly gifts. This gift could be money. It could be one of many, many, many other gifts that God has blessed folks with. Now, because every one of us have a given gift or talent of one sort or the other, some have received more talents than others. Some have gifts they do not realize they even have. Some have never allowed the Holy Spirit room to work in their lives and losing out on their gifts entirely. Some invest their talents for worldly gain and profit. Lastly, praise the Lord, there are those that invest their talents to earn a living while at the same time investing it to serve the Lord. Now, I think way too many times we all tend to forget to give God the glory and be satisfied with what we have, because all things come from God. You don't have a single talent. You don't have a single way to make money. You don't have a single way to live. You're only living your life because it's a gift from God. We tend to forget to give Him the glory. We tend to forget where those talents originate from. That you and I need to make sure that we take these gifts that we've been given and we invest them and use them. Use our godly gifts wisely. Turn with me, if you will, to our text today. It's going to be 1 Timothy 6 through 10, and then we're going to drop down and do 17 through 19. 1 Timothy 6 through 10. Then the second part is going to be on down to 17 and 19 of the same chapter. Okay, if you're at 1 Timothy 6, beginning in verse 6, it says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we'll carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therefore therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, while which some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Now skip on down to 17 through 19. 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. Says, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they may be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you this morning, Lord, for our many blessings. We thank you so much for you being our God, for being our Savior. And Lord, we just pray that you would be with this church as it continues to go, Lord. We pray for our military today, these folks that are putting their lives on the line for us. Lord, we pray that you would just be with them, be with our leaders, Lord. And Lord, we pray for those that hate America, Lord. We know that your hand was on the beginning of this country, Lord, and I believe it still is. And Lord, I pray that you would help our country and its leaders. I pray you put a hedge around this church this morning. Protect and bless us in our daily lives. Now I ask that you give me the power of the Holy Spirit. Hide me behind the cross, and we'll give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. Now, you know, when we speak of investments today, for the most part, we're speaking about investing money someplace where we can make more money. Whether it be real estate or investing in a business venture or just buying something we want. None of these things in itself are bad. Because God tells us if we love Him, He'll give us everything we want. Psalm 37, 4 and 5 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy ways to the Lord, and trust in him also, and he shall bring it to pass." You see, this is a promise that no earthly investment company can give you. And I say that because it's not theirs to give. Everything we have is a gift of God. Not because we deserve it. Because He has given it to us for us to invest. And we need to invest it wisely during this short time on earth. Jeremiah 27:5 says, I have made the earth, the man and the beast, and that are upon the ground. By my great power and by my outstretched hand, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet to me. So the gifts you have here this morning, whatever they might be, they're a gift from God. They're a gift to you individually. And as we begin our text for the morning, we see that God is advising us to invest. He's advising us as what to invest in. If we want real gain, that is. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Hey, we invest, God's telling us if we invest in godly things, there's great gain there, folks. There's great gain, not monetarily necessarily, and maybe it is. But if we invest our time and our talents and our possession in godly things, we're a prophet. We are promised a prophet. Or as God uses the word gain. Now this is a promise from a God that cannot lie. So it's a sure investment. We can never lose. If we, what we invest in God, what we invest in serving our Savior is never lost. You will not have to worry about the interest rates going up or the interest rates going down or the stock falling apart completely because your investment is safe. Now, this is some inside information. We're doing some inside trading here this morning. Something the government can't even stop me from doing. I can't go to jail for this information I'm about to give you. You see, because it comes from us making a godly investment for our eternal future. It's easy to see in 1 Timothy 6:7 that God is not speaking of earthly gain because our worldly gain is not going anywhere, folks. I've said it before and I'll say it again. You can have $1 billion in First National Bank. Let me tell you, when we take that step out into eternity, that money's still going to be. Where did I say it was? In First National Bank or wherever it was. Wherever it was, that's where it's going to be. We'll touch on that here in a little bit. Because verse says, verse 7 says, for we brought nothing into the world. You know what, folks? We're going to go out the same way we come in. And it is certain that we'll carry nothing out. I heard this one time, this old man. And I don't know whether I told you here or not, but that's one thing about getting old. You can tell the same joke over and over and over, and you think it's funny, and if you heard it, you don't need to laugh. But anyhow, this old man, he packed, took all of his money out of the bank. He knew he was going to die. Put it all in his suitcase. And he put it at the top of the steps. Well, a preacher come by one day, and he was there to pray for him. And he went up to the bedroom, and there was that suitcase. He says, well, what's the suitcase doing there? His wife says, well, he thinks when he dies, he's going to just grab that suitcase and take it with him when he goes to heaven. Lo and behold, the poor old guy died. Preacher came to comfort the wife and saw the suitcase. He says, I see the suitcase is still there. She says, yeah, I think he went the other way. Well, but anyhow. But once again, if we look in the next verse of our text, we see we're told to be content with the things that we have. Because we have the necessities. There's nobody here that doesn't have the absolute necessity to live their life. 1 Timothy 6:8 says, and having food and raiment, let us therefore be content. Being content with our lives, folks, actually glorifies God. inasmuch as whatever is going on in their life, we're told it's His will. So if we have a bunch of money, it's God's will. If we have to count our pennies from one month to the next, it's God's will. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's not talking about concerning me. It's not talking about concerning Mike. It is the will of God concerning you as individuals. The main reason we need to be content as born-again Christians, because it is the will of God. And it's a sad thing. Plus, you want to throw in the fact that it's a sin for one to be discontented with their situation. Trust me, whatever we are unhappy about, like it or not, it still remains the will of God in your life concerning you. In Hebrews 13:5, where God makes us a promise that He cannot lie. So when we're reading these verses, God's not lying to you, folks, because it is impossible for Him to lie. And when He tells you, He's always going to be on your side and will never allow us to go without the things we need to sustain our lives. And Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation, that means your way of life, folks, your mindset, be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's not a lie, folks. That is a fact, that God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a blessing to know that we have invested, and I hope you have invested heavily, in the very God of this universe, because He's looking out for you and He's looking out for me. Over the years, I've had a few investments, a few investment people that were supposedly looking out for my best interest. Well, you know what? Needless to say, they were very interested in me up until a guy come along with some more money to invest. All of a sudden, my future became nothing. Forgot all about me. You see, God doesn't do that, folks. But our loving God promises to never lose interest in us. Never lose interest in what you and I have invested. It's always going to go with us for eternity, folks. That's the only thing that's going to leave with us that we didn't come with. So anything we invest in His work, our future, is as secure as anything can possibly be. It's a place of eternal peace and tranquility. Look at Romans 8:16-18. Turn there if you will with me. Romans 8:16-18. Because when we invest, if we invest in Christ in our hearts, and then we go on to do what God would have us to do, one day you and I are going to inherit something. We're going to inherit the kingdom of God. Look at Romans 8:16-18. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so if we're born again Christians, this is for us, folks. It says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us. You see, our investment in God, our investment in the service of God is going to pay very, very, very good dividends. The inconvenience that we might suffer in this world. What do we got? Just a few years. A very few years. And there's not a thing that you and I can accumulate in this world that's going to compare to eternity with the investments, with the rewards that we're going to receive. Revelation 7:15-17 says, Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night. This is the 12th Michael. the 12, oh my goodness. Well, anyhow, to serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more. We're not going to be hungry anymore. Neither thirst anymore. We don't need to carry a bottle of water anymore. I got a sister who carries a bottle of water when she, no matter where she goes. We don't need it anymore. Neither shall the sun light upon them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That last sentence there. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. What a blessing that is. Sometimes we don't really appreciate what is offered here, especially when we're young. When we're young, we think we're never going to get old. Trust me, I remember when I was 16 years old. I remember when I was 10. And now I am of a certain age. Of a hoary head, as the Bible calls us. A man of many years, as far as earthly. But you see, in the eyes of the world, we may be very poor, but praise the Lord. Being poor in the things of this world is a blessing. If we're rich in the investments of God. You see, godly investments are going to prosper us in the eternal realm. James 2:5 says, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, rich in investments in God, and heirs of the kingdom, and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to them that love him." So we're talking about born again Christians here, folks. We're talking about each and every one of you here this morning that can remember a time that you accepted Christ as your personal savior. You realize that without a savior, you were going to die and go to heaven. We've all been there. I was there. I understood it. I understood just seconds before I went down to my knees that if I were to die, I was going to burn in the fires of hell forever. And folks, when we can get to that point, if you've never been to that point and you've never been willing to repent of your sins and realize that Christ is your only salvation from the fires of hell, then let me tell you what. If you haven't done that yet, you need to do it now. You may not have the next 10 minutes. God has a warning to them, those that feel they have no need for God. No need to invest their time, talents, and finances. Spend their time looking for worldly gain and making foolish mistakes. Look at verse 9 of our text, 1 Timothy 6. It says, "But they that will be rich fall into temptations and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." I think if you were to take a poll of those that have won the lottery over the years, and I would say that 99.9 of them, it ruined their life. It completely ruined their life because money was no longer there to invest in godly things. It was there to try to live the best life they could live. Spend it on anything they could buy, anything they wanted. Well, it wasn't long till the friends came along. The family came along. Next thing you know, they're more destitute than they were when they were standing in line trying to buy $100 worth of lottery tickets. I've seen that, the saddest thing I've ever seen. The poorer the people, the longer the line. Yeah. And they just think that's going to make it. Think how many people put that money into the lottery. Looking for money. And look what God says about money in our next verse. Says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, while some stand in the line for lottery tickets, they have erred from the faith." They haven't trusted God, have they? "And pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Once again, the Bible says the love of money It's not the money itself. If you took that $25 billion you won in the lottery and you invested it in the mission program, if you invested all but, say, a comfortable living, invested the whole, say you kept $50,000, put the rest of it in the missions, let me tell you what, your rewards would be tremendous. Because I tell you what, our missionaries out there today, or always have been, they're winning souls. Now, Michael, how many souls did you say the Rock of Ages have won since they've been?
Over 880,000,
the Rock of Ages. And how many years they've been in service? 41 years. 880,000 souls. But yet people, when they see Rock of Ages coming through the door, oh, it's not a not a foreign mission. Hey, mission. And I'm not just standing up for Mike because he's my son. I have seen what the prison ministry does. I have seen it, and we support prison ministries here. But anyhow, I don't want to get off that too far on that. But it's when we decide, and you and I can decide even when we get our Social Security check, or when we get our paycheck. We all have a decision to make at that point. What's more important? Us to have a few more dollars to go out and have supper? Not that there's anything wrong with that. But which is more important? Investing that money in Cheddar's or wherever you might go? I don't know where you might go. Is it more important to invest that money in Cheddar's, or is it more important to invest that money in God's work? I know that most, if not all, have heard the story. And I'm, once again, being old, here's an advantage. I made a vow to the Lord one day. I said I'd never miss a Sunday. I would never, ever do another lick of work on Sunday. Well, about 2-3 years after that, I had this friend of mine, good friend. Him and I worked together in the construction business, not as partners, but pretty much. He called me one Saturday night and he says, John, I've got to have your trucks Sunday. I said, Billy, you know better than that. I have no way in the world I can. He says, John, he says, I cannot afford to lose this job. I have to have a truck Sunday. Well, I'll tell you what, I didn't miss church, but it was the most miserable Sunday afternoon I've ever spent in my life. I just knew that truck was going to blow up at any second, or I was going to back it into a basement and turn it upside down and ruinate it forever. But praise God, God had mercy on me, because I was scared to death. And we should be scared. We should be scared when we don't invest our talents and our money the way we should be. Now, of course, it's not uncommon for a Christian to be what many call rich. And I do want to go back up a little bit here, and I know that some people that have to work on Sunday, I used to really preach against that. A person, it's hard to preach against that today. But let me tell you this. I will tell you this much. That if you have to work on a Sunday night, the doors are open on Sunday night. There's no way in the world that you, well, if you, unless you got to work more than 12 hours, that you can't be here in the evening service. See, that's where we have to decide what's more important. As a matter of fact, it's a wonderful thing if we have some wealth. God don't mind if we have wealth. Of course, I'm pretty sure my money ship is long since gone. Someone told me that they heard an SOS signal going out of it some 40 years ago. Hasn't been heard from since. I have no idea why it was in the Bermuda Triangle, but supposedly that's where it was at. But anyhow, for those that have prospered, having much more money they need, God has a couple of things to say to you. in our text, 1 Timothy 6:17, says, "Charge not them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." Now, the first thing you would think is most people that are well off kind of look down their nose at us, don't they? They really do. And rich people should not be high-minded. We need to invest our time, our money. And if we have somebody that has less than us, folks, let's invest some time in their spirituality. Let's try and help them spiritually, even financially if necessary. Over the years, I met so many so-called worldly people that wouldn't give me the time of day. If you noticed, you will hardly ever find a doctor or a lawyer open the doors of a small church. Now, why do you suppose that is? We had a Michael knows exactly who I'm talking about. We had a well-to-do pharmacist in our church in Lawnville one day, years ago. Well, anyhow, I don't know where it's at in my notes, okay? So I may run into it later. But he made a statement to me one day. He says, "John," he says, "this is a small church with small people. Trust me. There is no such thing as a small person in the eyes of God. Many would look down and call little churches inferior." Well, I can tell you this much. This church right here, although we may not have 300 people in our service this morning, in the eyes of God, we're every bit as important as that church that's got 10,000 in this morning. I believe God has blessed this church for our faithfulness and our missions, along with loving and caring for folks. The warning to the rich includes churches, my friends. Churches have become rich in the world, and they're out there. They're out there. They're paying their pastors $2,000, $3,000 a month, giving them a car and all that kind of stuff. I say pay your pastor a living wage if you can, only if you can. But I don't think he needs to be building a gold-plated doghouse with air conditioning like the one guy did. That was a TV evangelist. Because when you become rich, you kind of tend to forget about the Lord. Look at the church of Laodicea, Revelation 3:14-18. We see God accuse them. He's not accusing, he knows what they're doing. He says, "You're becoming rich and forgetting what you're here for, folks." Revelation 3:14-18. It says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Thou art neither hot nor cold. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth." Think about that. Think about that. "And because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing," God says, "Don't you know?" He says, "Knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked?" You see, God hates lukewarm Christians. He hates lukewarm churches. When God turns his back on a church because of lukewarmness, I guess is the right word, it won't be long before that dynasty collapses. It begins to crumble when you start bringing in the worldly music. Start bringing in drama. I know some churches that show movies on Sunday night rather than preach. Sad, sad state of affairs. And they think, they really think. I had this one deacon tell me one time, he says, we're even going to start serving popcorn in the sanctuary on Sunday night. I said, why don't you just go to the theater? It'll save your janitor a lot of work. And besides that, you shouldn't, well, let's not get into that. But God goes on to advise this church, my friend, at Laodicea, to go back to the old ways. Go back to the old ways, the old time, and invest in the things of God. Revelation 3:18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. If you were here for Sunday school this morning, Mike was talking about his investment in the Lord. It was an amazing thing to hear. See, he has invested his life. A lot of preachers have invested their lives. A lot of people have invested their lives. But God tells us, he tells the church to invest in the riches of godly things so that in the end he can bless them. If we go back to our text this morning, we'll see him telling the Christians that are rich in this world not to worry about laying up material things, but do the work of the Lord. Look at Timothy, our text. I think it's 1 Timothy. I didn't write it down here. 6:18 through 19. And verse 18 says, they that do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may hold on to eternal life. Eternal is forever. Like Mike said in Sunday school, forever means ever and ever and ever, and when you're done with ever, it continues to go on. Remember the man that wanted to have enough money that he could eat, drink, and be merry? Find him in Timothy. Again, I didn't write down first or second, but it's Timothy 6, well, on down, 20 and 21. 1 Timothy 20 and 21. Said, but God said unto him, here's this guy, and he decides for himself he's going to go out and make himself a bunch of money. He said, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thou soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Remember that $1 billion that we had in First National Bank? Who's it going to be? It's not going to be yours. And in 19, and it says, and I will say to my soul, soul, this is the man thinking. He says, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Buy a new Cadillac, buy a new summer home. But God said unto him, thou fool, in verse 20. I went back to 19, I'm sorry. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. So then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. And I wonder here this morning, whether you're sitting here in this service this morning or whether you're listening via the internet, are we doing what this man did? Just trying to make all the money he can so he can just retire and live like a king? Be very careful. Because I never want to hear what this man here was told. God called him a fool. If you and I are trying to make all the money we can so that we can retire, and again, I'm not talking about having a pile of money, because if you got a pile of money and God has given it, that's fine, as long as you're investing in God's service. But if we don't and we just continue to hoard, I don't want God calling me a fool. Even if I'm born again, when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I know my sins are paid for. I don't have to worry about my sins. But he might slip the word fool in there. I don't think he will. But he's going to give me my rewards that I've earned from the investments that I've made. I pray this morning that if you're here this morning and you're not doing your part in your godly investment, whether it be your time, your talents, whatever it might be, we need to invest them where you will get the biggest reward.